The exclusivity of Jesus Christ versus universalism. This is where the rubber meets the road, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you a definition for the word exclusivity. It's the practice of excluding or not admitting other things. A definition of universalism, a theological definition, the belief that all mankind or humankind will eventually be saved. So we got two modes of thought here, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, that there are not other ways, and I believe that those people who do not believe in him will be lost, spend eternity in a very real place called hell. You know, that's why I preach the gospel, and so that people might be saved. The most loving thing a person can do, ladies and gentlemen, is to tell them about Jesus Christ, that he can save their soul. So that's what we're dealing with here today. So one in total opposition to the next, okay? So universalism is diametrically opposed to the teachings of the Bible, without question. So let me give you a passage of Scripture here, very well-known passage here, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus speaking, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So there it is right there, "but by me." So, you know, Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, obviously did not teach universalism. You read the Gospels, I mean, it could not be any clearer that there was a way to heaven, that there's a way to be saved, and it is clearly in the person of Jesus Christ. So he's encouraging his own followers here, talking about the mansions, obviously the mansions in heaven. I used to do services at a nursing home. There was a woman would always request that song, "I got a mansion just over the hilltop." And you probably know that old hymn. So this is real, folks. Jesus Christ is preparing a place for those who believe in him. That's exactly right. He spoke this before he went to the cross, but he knew what he was doing, and he went to the cross, he rose, and that he ascended back into heaven. Folks, if you want to be in heaven, hear me today, folks. There's only one way, and it is through Jesus Christ. Thomas, he asked him, he said, "Lord, how do we know? We don't know. How can we know the way?" And what did Jesus say? He said, "I am the way." The way is a person. The way is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." So you need to know these things, ladies and gentlemen. It's found in Christ. Salvation is found in him. If you're a believer, you've been born again of the Spirit. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You will be with the Lord for eternity. Another passage of Scripture, Peter speaking in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." A man that was healed by a miracle. "This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So once again, there's not an inkling of a universalism teaching there, folks. It is absolutely not to be found. So if you're under the impression that all religions will take a person to heaven, you've been deluded. You've been deceived. And we're living in a day, ladies and gentlemen, I believe there's a coming, I'll call it the brotherhood of man. I mean, in reality, it's here already. More and more, as you would speak out the way I am speaking today, that Jesus is the only way, you will be frowned upon more and more as the days get darker. Think about a man like Pope Francis. You listen to the way he talks. Obviously, I do not believe he's a Christian at all because of the universalism type of teaching that you hear. You see those meetings. You remember Pope John Paul II had that interfaith meeting or interreligion meeting, whatever you want to call it, back in 1986 in Assisi, Italy. You had witch doctors there. You had he was smoking a peace pipe. I mean, it was total insanity going on there, ladies and gentlemen. And they're all praying to their own gods. You see, that's not the Jesus of the scriptures. Not at all. Not at all. And I thank God that he saved me out of that system. So universalism, you know, basically that's what they teach. All religions, you know, have some truth, and God is merciful and so on and so forth. He forgives. Absolutely. God is merciful. God is truth. God is love. Yes, but love rejoices in the truth. The Muslims, they don't even believe that God has a son. Now, how does that fit in with the teaching of Jesus Christ? Think about that. They believe he's a prophet. They'll give him that much. They'll say he's a prophet. But they do not even believe that God has a son. Certainly, they don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. The people of Judaism, they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They're still waiting for the Messiah to come. So think about that. Compare what they believe to what Jesus said, that he was the only way. So you see, we're dealing with different religions that disagree with what Jesus Christ himself spoke. They take their own words, they take their own man-made tradition, and they put them above the words of Jesus Christ himself. Listen to what the Lord said when he was speaking to his own Jewish people. John 8:42-47, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Now, does that sound like universalism? Hardly. So, Jesus didn't hold anything back, folks. And you probably have never heard that passage of scripture preached in your church. There's a good chance you never heard this. So he's telling his own Jewish people, you know, if God were your father, they claim God was their father. He says, you would love me because God sent me. That's what Jesus is saying. So he's basically saying, look, if you were who you say you are, then you would trust in me. You don't understand me. You don't understand my words, okay? And then he went on to say, your father's the devil. My, oh, my. Does not sound like universalism at all. He says, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Wow, that's some heavy-duty preaching, folks, right from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. In John 3:36, it's written, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you see the exclusivity of Jesus Christ? It boils down to this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. But if you don't believe him, the wrath of God is upon you. So as you look around the world with the billions of souls, the billions of people all over the world, whether it be America, Russia, Ireland, Greenland, South America, doesn't matter, millions, billions of people all over the world. And the deciding factor, folks, is whether one is a believer in Jesus Christ or whether they do not believe in him. Look at John 3:1-8. classic passage of scripture, Jesus Christ is talking to a Jewish rabbi named Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth or wishes, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So, obviously, the Lord was speaking of a spiritual birth, and the Jewish man named Nicodemus did not understand where Jesus was coming from. And that's why he asked him, can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb? So he's referring to the physical birth of how a child is born into this world. So Jesus is talking about being born from above, being born of the Spirit. And this must happen, ladies and gentlemen. You must be born again. If you want to see heaven, you must be born again. It's a spiritual birth. It happens when you receive Christ. You listen to the preaching of the Word of God. You're convicted of your sin. You put your trust in the Lord. And then the miracle of the new birth takes place in the heart. Listen to what Jesus said after he rose from the dead. Mark 16. Verses 15 and 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's good news to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Universalism to be found there? Not at all. The believers are saved and the unbelievers are damned. And this is the theme, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find this from cover to cover in the Bible, especially when the Lord spoke in the New Testament. I mean, it's clearer than clear. The believers are saved, the unbelievers, those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be damned. Folks, that's some heavy-duty stuff. Something you need to take heed to. You know, folks, it all boils down to the blood of Jesus Christ, ultimately, because if you're not washed or cleansed with that blood that he shed, then you remain in an unsaved, lost condition. To yourself, you might think you're pretty good. You might think you're a good person. You say you do the best you can. You try to do the right thing. You turned over a new leaf, perhaps, at one point in your life. You put away drugs. You put away alcohol and other things. Well, that's good in a way. But that's not salvation, folks. That's not salvation. A person must come to the place where they realize that they cannot save themselves, but there is a Savior, and that was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming into this world. Look at this in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. It says, Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. My, oh my. So the Ten Commandments, folks, the law of God, it stops every mouth. There's not a man or woman on earth that will not be found guilty. Every mouth will be stopped. You ask God to show you your sin, and you already know it. Thieves, lying, you're guilty before God. None are righteous, ladies and gentlemen, in the sight of God. There's no question about it. I heard somebody say, talking about a big screen, those big screen things they have in Times Square. You know, what would you do if all of a sudden you're watching that big screen and all your sins started appearing on that screen, even your thought life? He said, we'd all be grabbing greyhounds out of town. I mean, folks, you're a sinner. The Bible makes it clear you are a sinner. But the good news is that Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. You're ungodly, he died for you, folks. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. As I said, that's the equalizer, folks. It's the blood. It's the blood and nothing but the blood. Oh my, oh my. If you've never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, don't put it off, folks. This is the love of God, that Christ died for you. This is how your soul is justified before a holy God. You will not be saved from wrath without that blood, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He took on flesh, ladies and gentlemen, and he did it for that very reason. So you're an enemy of God if you're not saved today. I was an enemy until I was saved, folks. It says, that's what it says. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Revelation 1, 5 to 8, and from Jesus Christ, who was the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. Folks, when you know about the deity of Jesus Christ, when the Lord opens your eyes to the real Jesus Christ, then your thinking will change. When you understand that he was sent down from heaven, he came down from heaven because of his love for us, ladies and gentlemen. He did that for you. He conquered sin and death. He got back up from the dead. That's the power of the resurrection. This is the victory, ladies and gentlemen. Christ did this for us. And there is absolutely no other way to be saved. There's absolutely no other way to heaven. Be blessed.